Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my co-host and friend, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. We welcome our guide on trade and manufacturing these many years, Ellen Tonnelson, who blogs at Reality Check. Ellen, this is the first time we've had to speak to you since the president's announcement on Liberation Day in the Rose Garden 6 days past. What is your measure of these last 6 days? What surprises you? What does not? Good evening to you.
Hiya, John, and hi, Gordon. Certainly, this has been the most important week in U.S. trade policy history that we've ever had. We've now got U.S. tariffs that, by a lot of estimates, are even higher than those infamous Smoot-Hawley tariffs that were imposed in the early 1930s that many analysts argue, and I think that they're right, worsened an already very serious Great Depression. What's really and in fact, we also have the most consequential week in U.S. international economic policy, broadly speaking, since President Nixon in 1971 delinked the U.S. dollar from gold and imposed a 10% tariff on all U.S. imports. So this is literally one for the books, the history books. In terms of what's surprised me the most, in February, I published an article urging Mr. Trump to go big on tariffs. Well, he went bigger than I thought he would and bigger than I recommended. And so that's been one big surprise. I was actually hoping that he would impose something like a 20% universal tariff, that he would go much higher for China, since China is such a not only bad actor, an awful actor, and that he would threaten other countries who tried to help China in its longstanding tariff evasion schemes with even higher tariffs too. Plus, I urged him to make sure that these tariffs were flexible and smart and agile, because conditions change so often and because we can't simply take foreign promises to lower trade barriers at face value. We need to monitor, we have to enforce, we have to verify, not simply trust. I was also very surprised, by the way, at China's reaction. I certainly expected other countries to quickly try to come to the table, and that is to the negotiating table. And we've seen any number of news reports indicating that's already happening. Regarding China, though, China did impose a 34% counter tariff on all U.S. products trying to enter China. I was very surprised by that because China's economy depends much more on access to the U.S. market than vice versa. So the United States has all the major leverage when it comes to trade diplomacy with China. The Chinese either don't seem to understand that, but I think that they do. I think instead they're hoping that President Trump will cave because of U.S. domestic pressure.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, you mentioned China. Xi Jinping's a tough guy. He was never going to give in easily. But also, he's also possible of taking his country off the cliff because, as you point out, President Trump holds all the high cards. We're the bigger economy. We're the trade deficit economy. The problem I think that we see is that the Chinese political system is now intransigent. How long do you think this trade war, quote unquote, with China will last?
I suspect that it's going to last a very long time, not only because President Xi is, as you've described him, a very tough customer, but also because the entire Chinese economy is geared toward erecting protectionist walls of various kinds to slow or to totally block imports and to supercharge exports to the rest of the world. That's going to take a great deal of time to change. So even if China does offer to negotiate, even if China does actually cave in to President Trump, it's going to take a great deal of time, not only for the Chinese to enact these changes, but for the United States to make sure that China is actually keeping its promises. And we have to recognize that when it comes to keeping trade policy promises, China has been absolutely terrible. They are a chronic serial promise breaker.
Alan, what is the significance of this anecdote that last week, following the announcement in the Rose Garden, because of the clock, China was asleep and now up, awake, that a colleague of mine was up all night in Europe listening to screaming from manufacturers around the factory that he runs in the Pearl River Basin, screaming that they can't do it, that they're done, that there's no profit, they're going to have to let everybody go. This is anecdotal, but, and small manufacturing, electronics, what does it mean? Does it have any significance for what Beijing may have to do?
I think that it's awfully important, and even though China may have to in fact, try to lower prices to U.S. multinational companies like Walmart that depend very heavily on sourcing from China, I'm not sure China is going to be able to do it. In fact, it's very interesting. U.S. big box retailers like Walmart, reportedly anyway, are trying to squeeze their Chinese suppliers further. That's understandable, and they've got a lot of leverage with them. But at the same time, I think that your source is absolutely right. They don't really have much more to give unless the Chinese government decides to subsidize them to an even greater extent. And we have to remember that although the Chinese government has a great deal of money that's available to it, the entire Chinese economy has already run up massive debts. And I'm not sure how much deeper in debt Beijing really wants to go. So they're in a very tight spot, too. And in fact, a much tighter spot than the United States is in.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Alan, we've seen some sign that China is going to weaken its currency. In other words, to essentially absorb part of the China tariffs. There have been indications that there are increased central government subsidies to exporters to the U.S. So it looks like China, at least in its first round, is going to try to pay some of the Trump tariffs. But I agree with you that it doesn't have the firepower to do this. So what happens when China is no longer able to subsidize exports and these factories that John talked about go out of business?
We have a minute, Alan.
The Chinese economy becomes much weaker because Chinese consumers have already pulled their horns in to a very great extent because of the economy's real estate crash, which has been historic. And so once again, if China doesn't have that exporting safety valve to prop up economic activity, it doesn't have many strengths that it can continue relying on. And I think the Chinese economy, as a result, is headed for very deep trouble.
What are you watching for, Alan? 30 seconds. What will tell you that they're going to cave?
I'm watching for some sign that, for some reporting that there have started back-channel talks between the two capitals.
Right. Alan Tonelson, Reality Check, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. Watching back channel always.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.